Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
As servants of God, we should demonstrate to God and to every other individual a commitment to our Lord. People should see us and see that we are totally submissive to the purposes of God. And what's going to cause that submissiveness and lead to a God-pleasing obedience is our commitment to the will of God, which is directly related to our faith and hope in the kingdom of God. Do we really believe in a kingdom experience? Do we have that hope? If we do, that hope is going to influence our life, how we think, how we see everything, and it is going to produce a submissiveness and obedience to the purposes of God. Well, take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Psalms and Psalm 134. Again, we have a rather short psalm, but one that gives us some very significant counsel. And that's what the psalms do. They are the prayers that God wants us to pray. In other words, if you want to grow spiritually, one of the best things that you could do is to state before God in a prayerful way these words that we encounter in the book of Psalms. Make these psalms your personal prayers to Him, and you are going to find a very, very distinct change will come into your life. The psalms will produce righteousness. The psalms will produce a surrender to the good purposes of God. And all of His purposes, all of His commandments, all of those things that are related to the will of God, when we are committed to them, they are going to produce something good in our life. So again, look with me to that 134th Psalm where it begins, Shir HaMaalot, meaning a song or a poem of ascents. And again, I say this every week, because a song of ascents speaks to the desire that the people of God had when they would recite these psalms as they were going before Him up to Jerusalem. That's why it's a song of ascents, going up to Jerusalem for one purpose, and that was to worship God. And foundationally, what should drive our life is worship. We need to understand that God and only God is worthy of worship. We should be committed to that. We should be desiring to worship God. And that worship should interrupt our plans, interrupt our daily activity. And we're going to see a great example of that in a few minutes. Notice how the psalm continues. After telling us this is a song of ascents, we have that same word that I spoke about last week, that word hine, which means behold. And again, I'll repeat myself. It is a word that should capture your attention. What God is saying is, what follows this word hine, behold, is something of great importance to Him and ought to be of great importance to you and to me. And He says here, behold, bless the Lord, all the servants of the Lord. Now, hopefully you see yourself in that way, that you are one of His servants, and we are called to bless the Lord. Now, normally, when we deal with the word bracha or levarech, the word for blessing or to bless, this word speaks about a change. It speaks about that which is in heaven coming down, meaning that we have access to heavenly resources. So when we are blessed, we are receiving heavenly resources. Now, the word for blessing is the same root where we get the word for a knee. Now, what can you do because you have knees? You can sit down. And many would say that our Hebrew experts far better in Hebrew than I am, that one of the ways that we should understand the word blessing is to pull, in the sense to pull down. And it speaks of God's provision and God's presence. So God is going to provide both his presence and his provision. And when we have access to that, we are experiencing that, we are blessed. Now, when we use that word blessing, as in this case, not us being blessed, but us blessing the Lord, this is a word of praise. It is a word of intimacy. And what it teaches us is this. It is when we praise God, when we bless his character, and this means that we understand the goodness of God. And we want to praise him for who he is, not necessarily what he does. Now, everything that God does is good. But first and foremost, that desire to praise God, that desire to experience God, comes from who he is, his nature. So we affirm that God is good. Now, again, this good God, he does wonderful, perfect things, of course. But the emphasis is on who he is, and then only secondly, what he has done. So we're commanded here. It says, behold, this is God speaking. He says, this is significant. This has value. This is important. Bless, meaning praise the Lord. And who should do that? All of the servants of the Lord. Now, it's how this first verse concludes where I find some great significance. It says here, the one standing. Now, what's important here is that this is, and I realize if you look at some of the grammatical helps, they will tell you it is a participle. That's fine. But what I would say is simply, it is in the present tense. Whether it's a present participle or you simply see it in the present tense, the presence is here. And because that tense is the present tense, it has significance. I've shared with you, learn this principle. When you are looking at the Word of God and you come across either a participle in Hebrew, a present participle, or what I would say simply the present tense, it is to emphasize, make that passage, what is being said by that present tense verb, it tells us this is significant. And what is he saying? That we should be the ones in the house of the Lord standing. So the ones standing in the house of the Lord when, it says here, ba-lailot, meaning in the nights. Now, two things are seen here. First of all, it's not the word night in the singular, but in the plural. Scholars say this shows something that's ongoing, meaning that standing in the house of the Lord is something that this one does consistently. Which one? The servants. The servants of the God put God and praising him, blessing him, worshiping him above simply what most people do at the night, which is two things. Biblically speaking, the night is usually thought of as leisure, because you don't work in the night, or sleep. Now, biblically, we see something else. At nighttime, you don't see because the sun's not out, and therefore you would have to have a lamp burning. And normally, a lamp burning symbolizes the study of God's word. So the nighttime for servants are very, very different. We're not committed to leisure. We're not committed to just getting as much sleep as we can, but rather we're committed to either studying God's word at night, using that leisure, using the time that could be set aside for sleep, using that for studying God's word, or as it says here, that we go to the house of God. This is an idiom for worship, that we want to draw close to his presence, that we want to be with him. Why? Well, we'll see. For the purpose of worshiping him. It goes along with the first part of this verse where it says, bless the Lord. Who blesses him? Every one of his servants. And what does his servants do? Specifically in the nighttime, they stand in the house of the Lord. Now, what are they doing there? Well, look now to this next part where it says in verse 2, lift up your hands. Now, again, lifting up your hands has two truths attached to it. First of all, we show God, we lift him up, we lift up our hands to him. Why? Innocent hands, not stained with blood. It's a type of confession that we come before you innocently. We are not someone who has in our hands synonymous with works or deeds, not sinful deeds. So we're coming to him and sharing with him that we're committed to his purposes and not sin. We don't have hands that are stained with blood, but rather we come before him showing that we are innocent. We are committed to his will. Now, some have said that showing hands also can relate to a confession of sin. Perhaps that's true as well. So we're coming before him either confessing our sin or showing him that we are not living in sin, that we are not committed to sin. And this next word, kodesh, is a word that most scholars see relating to the holy place, meaning the temple. So lift up your hands, and the implication is, when I look at this, under the biblical Hebrew, I have modern Hebrew, and it says El HaMikdash, which means to the temple, to that holy place. And again, what are we supposed to do there? The same phrase. Look how verse 2 ends where it says, Uvarchu et Hashem, and bless the Lord. So it speaks to us about we, in order to worship God, in order to praise God, it needs to begin with a confession of sin, or hopefully that there's not sin in our life. That we are not serving sin, but we are serving God. And we come before him in the night, showing an interruption to our normal schedule, that we are coming to him in a form of commitment for the purpose of surrender, because we acknowledge that we are his servants. So bless the Lord. Now, let's conclude. Look at the last verse, verse 3. Again, the word that dominates this psalm is a word to bless, whether it's a verb or not. It says here, and the Lord, he will bless you. So now we go there to bless God, but what are we going to receive? It says here, Yivarechecha Hashem, the Lord will bless you, meaning who? His servants. So don't expect God's blessing. Don't expect God to move in your life, to act in the situations that you are experiencing, if you're not committed to him, if you don't put him first, if you're not interrupting your life in order that you might stand before him and lift up your hands in adoration and in honesty, sharing with God who you are and what your life is based upon. Lifting up hands, your deeds, showing him your commitment to him. And when you do, now we're ready for the last verse, what will he do? The Lord will bless you from Zion. And we talked about in the previous psalm, and I've made mention of this many, many times, this word Zion comes from a Hebrew word which means to mark something, to make a distinction, to single it out, and it is a kingdom word. The word Zion in English relates to the kingdom. But what's so important is this. When we do a good study of Hebrew, we find that the same word for Zion also can relate, the word mitsuyan can be related to excellency. So we see here that God wants to bless us from excellency, meaning this. He wants us to have those excellent things, which are kingdom blessings. God is not a God that is one who holds back. God, and I made mention of this not too long ago in a few messages, but we need to talk about how God gives. And the scripture, let me give you an example, the book of Luke chapter 6, it says here that God gives, how? Pressed down. So he pushes down all his blessings. Why? So he can get more and more in. And then he shakes it together so it settles to the bottom again. Why? So he can get more and more in. God is a generous blesser. He loves to bless. He wants to do more and more. And it says here, pressed down, shaken together, and what? That scripture, and overflowing. So when God blesses you, he blesses us abundantly. And therefore, we should show God an abundant commitment to him, that we interrupt our plans, our agenda, our life, not maximizing all the time for leisure and all the time for sleep, but rather we use our resources, and time is a huge resource, to demonstrate our commitment to him. So it says, verse 3, the Lord will bless you from Zion. Now, is God really able to bless us? Bless us in what I need? You may be going through a very difficult problem, but notice how this psalm ends. O say, what's O say? The one who makes. So again, it's in the present tense. That's emphatic. It means it's being emphasized that God is the one who makes the heavens and the earth. So the God who can bless us is the same God who created the heavens and the earth. Now, there's two things important about God as creator. First of all, that God has the authority by speech to bring things into being. God says, let there be light, and there was light. God speaks, and it is. This shows his authority. This shows that he is without limitations. But notice, there's something else. When we look at creation, we see that creation just doesn't exist, but it functions, meaning that there is a wisdom behind all of God's creation. The fact that God created the world is one thing. The fact that he creates it in order to function and to function perfectly. We see, for example, that if this one type of species would just be taken away, it's going to have some very significant implications. And this shows that God, in his creation, making the heavens and earth, he thought about everything. And God's creation reflected a perfect order that was rooted in the purposes of God. God made this world, and what did he say? Well, eventually, through the moving of the Spirit and his word, this world changed. It experienced a tikkun, a repair. It was tohu vavohu, that is a word of chaos, a word which means to lack order. But God, through his Spirit, God, through his word, brought this world into a change where God says, behold, it is very good. Meaning this world, through the word of God and the Spirit of God, came into the purposes of God. And I think there's a very, very, very important message for you and me. Our life is not going to reflect the purposes of God. We have been created by God. God has a purpose for our life, and it's only when we are led by the Spirit and we are functioning based upon the Word of God, committed to the instructions of God. His words are words of instruction. So it's when we are led by the Spirit and pursuing the Word of God, implementing His Word, this is when there's going to be an order. This is when we will go through a transition, and God will say about us, being a recipient of redemption, being a recipient of His Spirit, and being committed to His Word, then we will be individuals that are well-pleasing. That God looks at us and He'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We, if we're going to be a faithful and well-pleasing servant to God, we need to be led by the Spirit, and we need to be committed to the Word of God, meaning the truth of God. That is going to bring unity, not just between us and others, that's important, but it's also going to bring unity between the people of God and God Himself. Again, a rather short psalm, but one which is high in significance. Until next time, shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.